Held every woman as you'd like to do, missed the 12th hour apostolic Sabbatarian congregation, I was out of the 12th hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is February the 15th, 26, or it is Sebeth 29. So we're going to start our first service today. This is on a Sunday, first day of the week. We're on track 8, Mount Zion to the 11th hour. We're on page 85. We're going to do a little review, though, on page 85. Just back up a paragraph or so. It says, as concerning, this is part 4 of Mount Zion at the 11th hour, Brother Vicky Holler, as concerning the gospel, or as we understand the gospel, is the teaching of the plan of salvation, the blood of the Yahshua, of the Hebrews 10:19-20 of the New and Living Way. They are enemies for your sake. But as for touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of the Yahweh are without the repentance. For as you in times past have not believed Yahweh, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. That through your mercy they also may obtain mercy, for the Yahweh the Father has concluded them all in the unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. He's talking about the Gentiles along with the Jews. On the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of the Yahweh, the Father, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Yahweh? Yet in Philippians 2:5 it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Yahshua. So it says, let the mind of the Father, the Heavenly Father, be in you. Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given unto him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and unto him, are all things, unto him be glory forever. Hallelujah. Romans 11. And it says, listen, O owls, unto me, and hearken, ye people, from far. For the Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, has called me, Israel, that would be Jacob, from the womb, from the bowels of my mother has he made mention of my name. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword, and the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft in his quiver. Hath he hid me, and said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, Jacob, talking about Jacob, in whom I will be glorified. Because Jacob produces the 12 sons that represents the 12 tribes of Israel, that represents the 140 world heaven. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, and my work with my father Yahweh. And now saith the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob, his posterity, again unto him. Though Israel be not yet, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, and my Yahweh, the Father, shall be my strength. For we too, or we also, may say, though the whole world may reject Yahweh the Father and his message, yet we will trust in the Yahweh. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant for the raising up of the tribes of Jacob and for the restoring of the preserved of the Israel only. For I will also give thee for a light unto the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Isaiah 49:1-6. In other words, those of Israel who declare the sealing message of the 144,000 in the Seventh-day Adventist Church shall also declare Yahweh's glory among the Gentiles, and that's the house of David, and that's who we are. Thus be his salvation unto the end of the earth, and bring all their brethren, that's the Gentiles, and all these foreign nations, for an offering unto the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, out of all the nations, Isaiah 66:19-20. Or bring an offering unto Yahweh the Father out of all nations, Isaiah 66:19-20. Thus saith Yahweh, thus saith Yahshua the son of Yahweh, the Redeemer of Israel, by his blood and his Holy One. This is something's wrong here. Let's read that again. Thus saith Yahweh the Father, with his Son, the Redeemer of Israel, as his Holy One, unto him whom man despises, the one whom they call this man, Luke 19:14, see page 71. Unto him whom the nation abhorreth, unto a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, that is faithful, as the Holy One of Israel. And he shall choose thee, and that's he's talking about this house of David. Thus saith the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, in an acceptable time, have I heard thee, and in a day of thy salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for the establishing of the earth, for the causing to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say unto the prisoners, go forth unto them that are in the darkness, show yourself. They shall feed in their ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger and thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that has mercy on them shall lead them even by the springs of the water shall he guide them, and I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. Be behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north, and from the west, and these from the land of Sodom. Okay, so, sing, O heaven, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountain, for the Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, has comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, has forsaken me, and my Yeshua has forgotten me. Isaiah 49:7-14. For the Zion, Mount Zion, the 12th hour, as we have herein seen, being the church that the 144,000 are at the time of the sealing message is heard, and being as the apple of his eye, the Yeshua asked her, can a woman forget her second child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yea, will I not forget thee? Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. My walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste for thy destroyers, and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Isaiah 49:15-17. That is, the sinners will be taken out of her, cast away from among the just. Matthew 13:48-49. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather them themselves together and come unto thee. As I live, saith Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, thou shalt surely come, clothe thee with them all, as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. See Zechariah 8:23. For the shepherd's rod, Volume 2, page 281. For thy waste and thy desolate places and the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallow thee up shall be far away. That is, a great multitude is the joy, the living congregation of the kingdom of David. In the 12th parabolic hour, was Yahshua sitting upon the throne of David. That's why they join it, because Yahshua is here in person sitting upon the throne of David, and David is sitting upon the throne and is with him. But the sinners shall be kept out of it. For the children which thou shalt have, those who shall be gathered in, after thou hast lost the other, those who fell in the slaughter of the Ezekiel 9, shall say again in thine ears, for the place is too straight for me. Give place unto me that I may dwell. Then shall thou say in thine heart, who hath begotten me thee, seeing I have lost my children, and am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro, and who hath brought me these? Behold, I was left alone, these, where had they been? The question showed that the Adventist Church is ignorant of the great multitude of the Revelation 7-9, the second fruits. Thus saith the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, Behold, I will lift up mine hand unto the Gentiles, and set up my standard, and that's the sanctuary system of the blood of the new and living way of Hebrews 10:19-20. And to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down unto thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Yahshua, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, Even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. So there's that scripture about saving the children. And it says, and I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I, the Yahshua, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, as the Mighty One of Jacob, Isaiah 49:18-26. But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands, in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name, and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the Yahweh, the Father of Israel. Behold, the name of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of the indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire, and his breath as an overflowing stream, shall reach unto the midst of the neck, for the sifting of the nations with the sieve of the vanity, and there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. Isaiah 29:23, 30, 27, 28. But the liberal devises liberal things, and by the liberal things shall he stand, because the palaces shall be forsaken, for the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and towers shall be for dens, forever a joy of the wild asses, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest, then the judgment of the living shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness will remain in the fruitful field, and the work of the righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of the righteousness a quietness and assurance forever. And thy people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in the sure dwellings, and in the quiet resting places, when it shall hail coming down on the forest, that's the leaders, that's the ministers, and the city, the sanctuary of Israel, shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all the waters that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Isaiah 32:8-20. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. For the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despises the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of the deepened shall be the munition of the rocks. Bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe, that is the secretary? Where is the receiver, that is the treasurer? Where is he that counted, that's the statistical secretary, the towers, and that is your conference president? Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. Thou shalt speak and understand all the languages. Isaiah 33:13-19. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your Yahweh will come with a vengeance, even Yahweh with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then, let's do that again. Be strong, fear not. Behold, your Savior Yahshua will come with a vengeance, even Yahshua the Son of Yahweh with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water in the habitation of the dragons, where each lay, L-A-Y, shall be grass, with the reeds and rushes, and an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of the holiness. For the unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those of the wayfaring men. No fool shall not err thereof, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed of the Yeshua by his blood shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Yeshua, the son of Yahweh, shall return and come unto Mount Zion at the 12th hour with the songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, for they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Isaiah 35:3-10. Inasmuch as both the field with the wheat and tares, Matthew 13:30, and the net with the good and the bad fish, Matthew 13:47-48, represent the gospel, or the church, the gospel church, the one that teaches the plan of the salvation of the brother, the everlasting covenant of Yahshua. That's the house of David. During the period in which the saints and the hypocrites are commingled, then the vessels into which the good fish are placed after the bad are cast away from among them, and the barn into which the wheat is placed after the tares are separated from it must necessarily represent the church passing from its unclean state, field or net, into another, its purified state, which is symbolized not by the field or by the net, but rather by the barn and by the vessel of a new place, with a new place safe and clean, where the hypocrites, there shall no more come, the uncircumcised and the unclean. Isaiah 52:1. So no matter what the term we may give unto this new place, into which the saints are to be gathered, the place itself will be absolutely free from sin, because all sinners among the righteous have then been destroyed. Since after the separation of the unconverted from among the Yahweh's true people, the church then comprised of the 144,000 as the first fruits of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, is to emerge into a theocratic government. Inevitably, then, the vessels represent the component units, the tribes, into which the redeemed are gathered severally, while the barn represents the composite units, the kingdom, into which they are gathered collectively. And this great gathering, selective, absolute and final as it is, only goes to show again that the birth of the kingdom is absolutely dependent upon the purification of the church. I, Yahshua, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of the David, and the bright and morning star, Revelation 22:16. arise that we may go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. And are you still? Judges 18:9. Be not slothful, act promptly, get ready, follow the Lamb to the ruler of the land. It says, send ye the Lamb to the ruler of the land from Selah unto the wilderness, unto the mount of the daughter of Zion. For it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out of the nest, so the daughters of the Moab shall be at the fords of the Arnon. Take counsel, execute judgment, make thy shadow as the night in the midst of the noonday. Hide the outcast, bewray not him that wandereth. Let mine outcast dwell with thee, Moab. Be thou a covert unto them from the space of the spoiler, for the extortioner is at an end. For the spoiler ceaseth, the oppressors are consumed out of the land, and in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in the truth, in the tabernacle of the David, judging and seeking judgment, and hasting righteousness. Though this passage may seem to contain nothing more than the Kabbalistic language of the cadence mysticism, yet it holds lessons calculated for the converting even their case-hardened infidel to the certain truth of the Bible. Indeed, if the Yahweh's people could get along without this scripture, we may be sure that he would not have taken either the prophet's time to write it or space in the Bible to record it. Were it, in short, merely a mystical rhapsody of the prophetic tenor without rhyme or reason, then it were not but a piece of the vain repetition, an imperfection, an impossible thing with the Yahweh the Father. So to attach no significance or importance to the verses would lay one under the fearful condemnation of the following scripture: if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, Yahweh shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book, Revelation 22:19. As the Isaiah's words therefore must contain light, the absence of which leaving dark our path exposes us to the risk of falling with the blind headlong into the pit, the diligent searcher for the truth will discover that though the passage appears obscured and involved in the mystery, it is plain and simple when seen in the light which shines from above. Send ye the Lamb to the ruler of the land from Selah to the wilderness unto the mount of the daughter of Zion. Isaiah 16:1. For the definite article thee lends absolute meaning to the noun, lamb, showing that a lamb as the only one of his kind, was the object of the command to send the lamb from Moab to the mount of the daughter of the Mount Zion in Jerusalem. For it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out of the nest, so the daughters of Moab shall be at the fords of Arnon, that is, the lamb had to be taken from Moab because the Moabites were to be cast out as a wandering bird at the fords of Arnon, Isaiah 16:2. For the sacred history records that the one lamb taken from Moab before the Moabites were cast out of their nest was the one of whom John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of the Yahweh, Yeshua." The prophecy shows that the Lamb was rushed from Moab to the Mount Zion, David's palace at Jerusalem, an event which took place when the Naomi, with her son, went to Moab, the wilderness, a nation not under the direct care of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, and therefore not a vineyard, and brought Ruth, the Moabitess, from Moab to Jerusalem. For Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and she bare a son, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David, and Jesse begat David, Ruth 4:13-22. Thus Yahshua, as the son of David, was sent from Moab to Mount Zion, David's palace, thus showing Yahshua's divinity as the son of Yahweh, and his humanity as a son not only of David, but also of Lot, Moab. Okay. Oh, how wonderfully particular is our Yahweh, for the names Obed, Jesse, and David in the Hebrew tongue means Yahshua as a servant. Obed, who is to be in my presence, Jesse, the beloved and the beloved David, for Yahshua being in the flesh as a Moabite as well as an Israelite, Yahweh says, "Let not outcast dwell with thee, Moab, Yahshua. Be thou a covert unto them from the face of the spoiler." And a man again pointing to Yahshua shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as the rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land, Isaiah 16:4, 32:2, sent to take counsel, execute judgment, make his shadow as the night in the midst of the noonday, hide the outcast, bewray not him that wandereth, Isaiah 16:2. For Yahshua is a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, in a weary land is a great and perfect shadow, even as the midnight at noonday. So also explains the psalmist, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O Yahweh." Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Psalm 63:7 by David. And therefore strange there the gospel prophet also, shall the strong people glorify thee, the city of the terrible nations shall fear thee, for thou hast been a strength unto the poor, a strength unto the needy in his desire, or in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible one is as a storm against the wall, Isaiah 25:3-4, and in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in the truth in the tabernacle of the David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness, Isaiah 16:5. Since according unto this scripture, the establishment of the Yahshua's throne is yet future, and since furthermore it is to be set up in the tabernacle of the David, the which did not take place in his first coming, Yahshua therefore, when he comes to reign in his forthcoming kingdom, will sit on the throne of the David, and as he is then to judge, seek judgment, and hasten righteousness, the entire action occurs just before the close of the probation in this 12th prophetic hour that we're in since 2002, in the time in which he can hasten righteousness. So happily this prophecy of Yahshua's genealogy and of his taking the reins in his own hands was given for the admonition and learning of those who shall be living at the end of time, when all these things shall come to pass. Supremely important, therefore, is a need to remember its all important lessons, and with the faithful act promptly. That's our next subtitle. Seeing that Lot, as well as Abraham, appears in the genealogical record of Yahshua, the question naturally asserts itself. Why should these two men be so greatly honored? And the answer awaits us, for the Abraham obtained this great honor because he was faithful to the word of Yahweh and never questioned it. Though all things seem destined to fulfill themselves contrary unto his interest and to Yahweh's promises. Though Yahweh promised to give the land to him and to his posterity for a perpetual possession, Abraham personally never obtained the promise. Besides enduring these faith-trying tests, he waited 25 years for the promised son, only to be commanded when this only child was become a young man to sacrifice him for a burnt offering. Still, through every trial, he never lost his faith in the Yahweh the Father, but implicitly trusted in him and unreservedly obeyed his command. For this reason, Yahweh signally honored him. Yet the great lesson here to be learned is not so much from the Abraham's experience, as from the Lot, for though Lot was not quite so generous as was Abraham, and not quite so willing to live apart from the world, still his faith in the promises of the Yahweh to Abraham was as great as was the faith of Abraham himself. Yea, in some respects even greater. for Yahweh spoke to Abraham in person, whereas he spoke to Lot through Abraham. Lot, therefore, had to have implicit confidence that Yahweh had spoken to him through Abraham. As in the days of the Abraham, moreover, there was no Bible by which to prove that his going from his father's house was in the fulfillment of the prophecy, and that Yahweh was leading him to depart from Ur of the Chaldees to go into a land the whereabouts of which he himself knew not. Hebrews 11:8-9. We see that Lot was not like most men today, who question and criticize everything in the unfolding of the truth, without the slightest questioning of the or doubting. He put his trust in the Abraham's Yahweh and confidently followed in the quest for the promised land. What a contrast between the character of Lot and that of the Jews, who rejected the prophets and even put them to death. For this reason, Yahweh honored Lot with the greatest gift heaven could bestow upon a human being, sharing the earthly parentage of the Yahshua of glory, the eternal King. Although furthermore, Lot's descendants, the Moabites and the Ammonites, were no better than the other heathen, yet for the Lot's sake, Yahweh did not deal with them as he did with the rest of the heathen, but commanded Moses to distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given Ur unto the children of Lot for a possession. And when thou comest nigh over against the children of the Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession. Deuteronomy 2:9-19. And if any man serve me, said the Yeshua, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. John 12:26. Also, he shall call upon me, says the psalmist, and I will answer him. I will be with him in the trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Psalm 91:15. Aside from the happy deed of the showing hospitality unto the angels who visited Solomon, Genesis 19:1, the noblest act in the spotty record of the Lot's life is that he joined Abraham in his newly found and strange religion, and that in order to do so, he departed from both his father's house and his homeland, knowing not whither he was going, besides receiving consequently the everlasting blessing of being one of the earthly progenitors of Yahshua, a blessing which he shall realize through Yahshua at the glad resurrection day, and rejoice and throughout eternity. He did not go wanting for a temporal blessing, and while surrounded with the earthly danger, a heaven-sent angel even delivered him from the doomed city of Sodom before it was reduced to ashes, Genesis 19:16, 24-25. Had he waited, though, for greater evidence as to whether or not Yahweh was leading him in this most momentous event of his life, had he said in his heart, I take no chance, but we shall wait until this venture proves successful. I shall first investigate and know for a surety that the land is fertile and the climate agreeable to my family's stock, etc. He never would have had a part in the movement itself or in the paternal lineage of the Lashur of the Glory or in the eternal kingdom. Oh, brother, sister, have you the faith of Lot? All these things happened unto them for the examples and are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Oh, let us then follow in the footsteps of these great men of Yahweh, trusting his immutable word and acting upon it without the slightest hesitation. Follow not in the way of those who doubted, questioned, and criticized, and who, in the fatal consequence, never arrived at the knowledge of the truth. Or, surely, as such, let's reread this last paragraph again. For the great obstacle, both for the acceptance and for the promulgation of the truth, is the fact that it involves inconvenience and reproach. This is the only argument against the truth, which its advocates have never been able to refute. But this does not deter the true followers of the Yahshua. These do not wait for the truth to become popular. Being convinced of their duty, they deliberately accept the cross with the apostle Paul, counting that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, with one of the old esteeming the reproach of Yahshua greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. The Great Controversy 380, 460. Both the Moabites and the Ammonites being the descendants of the Lot, and Lot being one with Abraham, also the Edomites being the descendants of Esau, Jacob's twin brother, to all of whom Yahweh declared. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, Genesis 15:13-16. They should therefore be known that the time had come for the fulfillment of that long expected event, and should accordingly have been ready for it. Or had they lost sight of the truth, then they should have recalled it when they saw the movement that was now at their very borders. Had they believed in the Abraham's Yahweh, as Lot believed, they would not have refused to let the children of Israel, their blood relatives, pass through their country to the promised land, but rather would have joined with them, as Lot joined with Abraham, to help them possess it. Indeed, the Moabites went so far in their hostility toward their relatives that they even hired Balaam to curse them, in spite of the fact that Yahweh is putting the Israelites in mind of his promise to Lot, commanded them that they harm not their brethren, Judges 11:16-18. Thus ended declining to welcome them and to grant them safe conduct through the land, The Moabites not only refused to acknowledge Yahweh's wondrous providence, but also rejected him in the person of his people, whom they well knew he had led with the signs and wonders out of the land of Egypt. May this tragic lesson penetrate into the innermost hearts of all today and cause them to acknowledge Yahweh's mighty power and the fulfilling prophecy. Shall not Christians avoid the mistakes and blunders of the past and without hesitation join Yahweh's people on their onward march toward the antitypical promised land? Or will any in this enlightened age stubbornly disregard the word of Yahweh and oppose his people, as did the Moabites and the Ammonites, who consequently lost both their kingdom and eternal life? Oh, what a catastrophe! After having thus been enlightened by the word of the truth, to hear spoken against oneself the same dreadful sentence which excluded the Moabites and the Ammonites from the congregation of the Yahweh. An Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Yahweh, even unto their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Yahweh forever, because they met you not with the bread and with the water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hard against thee Balaam, the son of Beor of Pethor of Mesopotamia, to curse thee, Deuteronomy 23:3-4. For the Moabites, hiring of Balaam, calls attention unto the fact that in the antitype, those who should be welcoming and blessing Yahweh's people will instead, with the promises of money and fame, be hiring false-hearted servants to curse them. But we are comforted by the truth in the type that which Yahweh has blessed, no man can curse. I am astonished, says the Yeshua servant, that with the examples before us, what man may be and what he may do, we are not stimulated to greater exertion to emulate the good works of the righteous. All may not occupy a position of the promise, yet all may fill positions of the usefulness and truth, and may by their preserving fidelity do far more good than they have any idea that they can do. Those who embrace the truth should seek a clear understanding of the scriptures and experimental knowledge of a living Savior. The intellect should be cultivated, the memory taxed. All intellectual laziness is sin, and spiritual lethargy is death. Testimonies, Volume 4, page 399. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through the faith and patience inherit the promises. Hebrews 6:11-12. Okay, this brings in verse 5. This hour contact is at the 11th hour call. Number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.